Now what, Captain?
Well, they didn't blow us away straight off. Let's see what they do with this. Send them a voice burst, just as we did with Levati.
That might buy a few seconds, but they needed hours. She got back on the intercom.
Petrus, better link with Skoderin and get yourself a weapon. Wherever Sirkin is, she might be dangerous.
Right.
He had left Sirkin's quarters, she saw on the personnel monitor, and headed toward the main service corridor. She couldn't find Sirkin now, but that made sense. She'd have taken off the tagger and probably done something to keep the automatic sensors from recognizing her. Harris hadn't yet entered the data for all Cecilia's medical team, so she didn't know who made up that cluster of dots outside Mr. Smith's quarters, the cluster now moving along a corridor toward the service area.
Lady Cecilia, please stay in your quarters and get your medical team with you. It is not safe to wander around right now.
Intruder ship Harper Valley. Cease maneuvers or we will fire on you.
So tactful.
I've got the last squirt out of her. Trying to get in the shadow of that moon.
Which you hope no one is hiding behind. I would be.
Swing out then?
Costs us V, gains us space. I hate the feeling we're being driven into a preset trap.
Fine.
He made adjustments on his board. Mahari straightened.
That's odd.
What?
You touched your board and mine flickered. Do something on the other one.
Isagai Gwar, on the secondary, shrugged and fed in a query.
Aha!
Mahari reached for her own toolkit and fiddled with it.
So that's it. It's controlled from your board, Issy. Let me get at it.
He pushed back willingly, and Mahari ran her instruments over it.
She must have set this up with a time delay, so anyone touching the board after a certain time would set up a signal locking up weapons control. Clever. If she'd been better at the patches, my board wouldn't have flickered, and we'd never have found it. Glad she was careless about this, too.
They're targeting.
I'm not wasting time.
Mahari plucked the overlay off the top of the secondary board and prodded something underneath with delicacy.
This little beauty? I don't want to blow anything if it's wired that way. Can just now slip out.
She slipped the tiny object into her pocket. Harris saw, before Janice could speak, his board come live. One by one, the orange lights turned green, one column after another, as the weapons ran through self-checks and warmed.
Code 3 as soon as you can, Mr. Janice.
Mahari's board began to green up, far slower than Harris wanted. Gwar was reassembling his console. Oblo wore an expression of limpid unconcern that Harris knew from earlier battles.
Last warning. Intruder ship cease maneuvering in 10 seconds, or we will fire on you.
Nicely calculated that. The transmission lag was down to 8 seconds.
Here it goes.
On the large screen, the tracks of the other ships, the analysis of their weaponry, the first white-hot arcs as two missiles lofted toward where they would be, one from each pursuer. Janice's board was almost completely green, the yellow dots lit now halfway across the top. Mahari shifted her board's controls to Janice and moved to stand by the bridge hatch.
Lockdown, Captain?
No. We've got a loyal crew out there.
Issy, your control. I can go out.
No. There's only one to worry about, and with any luck, she's dead.
Harris watched on the screen the enemy's missiles coming nearer. On Janice's board, the yellow dots turned red as the weapons came operational.
Let's just see.
Janice's finger stabbed at the board, and the two missiles seemed to stagger in their course, then swerve aside.
Yeah, still works fine.
If they could all be that easy.
That hadn't even required their offensive weaponry.
Then I couldn't play with my other little darlings. Oh, you would. Idiots.
Harris didn't interrupt with questions. The second wave of missiles had been launched before the enemy would have had time to get scan data back from the yacht's activated weapons. Four this time, bracketing their expected course. These Arcadi dispatched with contemptuous ease. What mattered now was what else they would use. Their scans revealed optical and ballistic possibilities.
Response, Captain?
They could, of course, launch a counterattack. No one was there to remind her it was a bad idea to get into a slugfest with two larger ships.
Let's try to dodge their bullets and help them run low on ammunition. Why change what's working?
Harris kept an eye on Oblo's scanning screens. If that moon had held a trap, and if the pursuers had realized they weren't going into it, a third ship might come dashing out right about there. But they had trusted too much to their trap. The third ship had low relative V, and though boosting frantically, was caught deep in the well with little maneuverability.
There's a target, Mr. Janice, if you just want something to shoot at.
A bit chancy. I'd rather save what we've got for these two.
Just don't forget that third one. If it launches something at us, it could still hurt us.
Right, Captain.
In that long pause, while the enemy realized they had an armed ship and not a helpless victim to subdue, while the enemy commander, Harris imagined, cursed and chose an alternate plan, she had time to wonder why it was so quiet. Someone should have reported back by now. She called up the personnel monitor again and saw the cluster of green dots in exactly the wrong place, down in the service corridor near the weapons locker. What if Sirkin had attacked Lady Cecilia, or shot the clone, or was holding Lady Cecilia hostage?
Meharry.
Yes, Captain.
Harris pointed to the layout with the little green dots.
Get down there and find out what's going on, and break it up. First priority, secure the ship. Next, Lady Cecilia. Next, Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir!
Meharry's sleepy green eyes were wide awake now and eager. Oblo moved forward, but Harris waved him back.
No, we've got a battle up here too, and you can either do nav or weapons. Go help Janice for now.
Sirkin followed Lady Cecilia's chair out of her quarters with a mixture of reluctance and glee. It wasn't her fault. She hadn't made those mistakes, and she thought she knew, who had. But nobody would believe her, she was sure. And she doubted the captain would have the patience to let Lady Cecilia literally spell it out. If anyone came down here, they'd believe the worst of her, especially now that she was out of her quarters. Lady Cecilia's hover chair made swift progress along the corridor toward the main lounge. Sirkin looked over her head to see Mr. Smith and several of Lady Cecilia's medical team clumped together there. As she watched, they came forward, and Lady Cecilia reversed the chair, nearly hitting Sirkin.
Weapons. Where are the small arms lockers?
Sirkin knew that, but she wasn't sure what they were doing, or if it was right. He grinned at her, that famous grin she had seen on many a newscast, and punched her arm lightly.
Come on! We've got to get armed and keep whoever it is from taking the ship away from your captain!
She led the way back into crew country.
Skodering. Joined the ship just before we left Rockhouse. Old crewmate.
One of the group that was court-martialed?
No, just demoted afterwards. Some enlisted were, she said.
What specialty?
Environmental systems.
They came out of that corridor into another, which angled downward. Harris would have recognized it as leading to the place where Ickland had died. Sirkin did not. She only knew they should take the turn to the right. The weapons lockers, filled with all those expensive oddments, as Janice had called them, on Cerealis, were that way, around a turn or two. Sirkin, sure of the way, went first. Mr. Smith came behind her, and then Lady Cecilia in her chair, surrounded by attendants. Around the last corner, Sirkin stopped abruptly. The weapons lockers were open, and on the deck lay Nazaru Haidar, face down and motionless, with blood pooled under his head. Mr. Smith pushed past her and knelt beside the fallen man. Sirkin edged forward, trying to remember to breathe, and one of the medical attendants rushed forward, opening a belt pack.
Just stop right there.
Sirkin looked up as Skodarin stepped out of an open hatch across from the weapons lockers. Skodarin had one of the weapons. Sirkin wasn't sure what it was, though she knew she'd seen its like in news clips and adventure cubes. It looked deadly enough, and Skodarin handled it as if it were a part of her body.
How very convenient. Just the people I wanted to see, and now you're all here together.
Skodarin had on a black mesh garment over her uniform. Sirkin found her mind wandering to it, wondering what it was. Skodarin looked right at her. Sirkin felt her heart falter in its beat.
Poor Brictus. You must continue to be the scapegoat a while longer, I fear. Pity that you went mad and murdered Lady Cecilia and the prince, or his clone, it doesn't much matter.
But I didn't do any of it!
Of course you didn't. Though I rather hoped you wouldn't figure that out until whatever afterlife you believe in.
But you were on her ship! How can you do this to her? To the others?
It is distasteful, I'll admit. I have nothing against Captain Serrano, even though she did manage to ruin my career as a deep agent. It's certainly not personal vengeance for having managed to arrange the deaths of two of my relatives.
Who?
Relatives I didn't particularly like, in fact. Though we do take family more seriously than some other cultures. Who scratches my brother, or cousin in this case, scratches me. You were there, Brigdis. Surely you remember the terrible death by poisoning of poor Ickland.
But you...
Enough. You two by Haidar. Move back over there.
Mr. Smith and the medical team member, Sirkin had not even had a chance to learn their names or positions, moved back near Lady Cecilia.
You, Brig, you stand by Haidar.
She was moving under the black, unseeing eye of that weapon, despite herself. She could hardly feel her body. She felt as if she were floating. Her foot bumped something. She looked down to find her shoe pressed against Hydar's head. He was breathing. She felt the warm breath even through the toe of her shoe. Her mind clung to that, like a child clinging to a favorite toy in a storm. One thing was normal. Hydar was alive.
Take one of those weapons from the rack and hit him.
Sirkin stared at Skodarin.
Go on, girl. They're not loaded. You can't hurt me with it. I want your fingerprints on it, along with his blood. Whack him in the head with it, hard.
No.
Do it now, or I'll shoot your precious Lady Cecilia.
You will anyway. Why should I help you?
I don't have time for this.
Skodarin leveled the weapon at Sirkin. Sirkin panicked, grabbed the nearest object in the rack, and threw it at Skodarin, just as Mr. Smith made a dive for her. When it was over, Sirkin felt very, very tired, and only slowly realized that she had been hit. That was her blood on the deck now, and she had to close her eyes just for a moment.
The Serrano Legacy, Sporting Chance, is continued on the next CD.